resurrection really is a game changer. If you believe in resurrection, you will have a different worldview. Your whole world is different. Remember going to London several years ago with some New Heart members to evangelize. But England is a very, very difficult place to evangelize. It's kind of ironic because that's where the gospel came to the United States, right? Years ago, and England happens to be a country that God has used throughout history to preach the Christianity to the whole world, but now it is such a mission field. And I went there maybe, I forgot what year, 5-6 years ago, and we went into this campus, local campus, and just looking for some people to speak with. And I spoke with a lot of Muslims, okay? But I went into the cafeteria, and it was kind of quiet. I was looking for someone. I was just prayerfully looking for someone. And I found this man who looked like a professor. So I was kind of hesitant. He was an English man, very composed, very sharp. And should I go speak to him? And I was just kind of praying. Ended up, let me go speak to him. Okay, so I approached him, and I asked him if I could sit down and talk to him, and he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, but so I helped myself to sit down. And he was reading a newspaper with coffee, and basically, he didn't want to talk to me. He knew what I was about. And it so happened that, as the conversation went on, he had a cancer, and he had chemo for a whole year, and he just returned this week. So you would think, wow, this is an opportunity to share something that matters and eternal things. So I began to talk to him, and then he just gave me this kind of look, basically saying that, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you kind of look. And I knew it. And then this is what he said. So I just kind of paused, and he said, so do you see that fly? This is what he told me. Do you see that fly? Yes, I do. That fly will live today and will die tomorrow. I'm going to live, and then I'm going to die one day, and that's it. And that was his argument. I was like, what is he trying to say? And I get it. He's an atheist. Just like a fly, it lives a day, and then the life is over. But basically, human beings are the same thing. Atheist view is, you live today, and when you die, there's nothing afterward. Is that how it is? What a big difference in worldview between atheists and Christianity. Christianity says there's going to be resurrection. Every single human being will rise. Whether you are a believer or not, you will rise, and you will stand before God. Could you think about that? Could you consider the possibility, if you are not a Christian, would you consider the possibility that you will be raised from the dead and you will stand before God? Either atheists are all completely wrong, or the Bible is wrong. Which one is wrong? Well, we'll find out. But if atheists are wrong, you are standing before the Almighty God. Whoa, that's a dreadful thought, isn't it? Bible says there's going to be a resurrection. In fact, Jesus said very, very clearly, everyone who has who was dead before will rise. If you are in Christ, you will have eternal life. If you don't, you will have resurrection of judgment. That's the word of Christ. So Christianity is really the religion of open tomb or empty tomb. Now, could you consider that? Right? What do you mean open tomb and empty tomb? Who leaves the tomb open? It doesn't make any sense. I went to Rwanda several times many years ago, and there was a genocide in 1994, and they have a mass grave that is open. The reason being, the human body, human remains are just keep, you know, they see more and more human remains, and they bring it and just put it into the opened coffin, and the tomb is open. But that's not what we are talking about here. What you're looking at right here is the Palestinian tomb carved out of rock, as you see, with a huge gate. Okay, the round thing is the gate that closes the door, and that's the tomb, represents tomb that Jesus laid for 3 days, and it has been open since, and it's not going to be occupied. Now, that separates everything from Christianity. No matter what religion you speak with, the leaders of the other religions, they're dead. They're in the tomb. Their tomb is their shrine, basically. But for Christianity, it's completely opposite. It's empty, and it is open, and it's not going to be occupied because he's alive. Okay? I don't know what your view of resurrection is. Oh, that's just a non-scientific thing, that non-legal thing, non-provable thing that people came up with. So I wanted to share something. I thought about whether to share this or not, but I decided to share. Thomas Arnold, professor of modern history of Oxford University in England, and this is what he said. Tens of thousands have gone through the evidence which attests the resurrection of Christ piece by piece, as carefully as ever a judge summed up on the most important case. I have myself done it many times over, he's the professor at Oxford, not to persuade others, but to satisfy myself. I have been used for many years to study the history of other times and to examine and to weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no fact in the history of mankind which is proved by better and fitter evidence and every kind. Oxford University professor. I don't know whether you ever considered and took some time to do some research, see if the case of resurrection is historically reliable thing or not, whether you care or not. But many have throughout the last 2,000 years. So many people try to disprove it. So many people. I wonder what the motivation is, right? It's not a good motivation. Obviously, they want to make, you know, mock Christianity. You know, and so many thousands of people, so many qualified people, so many smart people, so many experts have done it. And this is one of the experts, and I would imagine you respect the University of Oxford. And he basically says, there is no fact in history of mankind which is proved by better and fitter evidence of every kind than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? People think it's just kind of like a fairy tale kind of thing. It's not. You're being very ignorant if you think like that. Okay? Let me just give you one more. Not that we need to prove this, but I want to just to lay these things out to you so that you and I will be humbled. All right? So, evidence of resurrection. Quote from Harvard Law Professor. He's a Harvard Law School professor. Simon Greenleaf, regarding the historical Jesus. Quote, according to the laws of the legal evidence used in courts of law, there is more evidence for the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other event in history. Did you know that? What would you say about that? If the professor at Harvard Law School, not that the fact that he said makes the difference, but he is basically reasoning with people according to the laws of a legal evidence. used in the courts of the courts of law. There is more evidence for historical facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than for just about any other events in history. Oxford modern history professor, Harvard Law School professor, they attest to the historicity of resurrection of Jesus Christ. And people cannot deny that. And when that is true, you must make up your mind. If that is true, it proves a couple things. Number one, what he claimed is true. Okay, what he claimed is true. Either, you know, can you imagine, I tell you, you know, I'm going to be raised in 3 days. I'm going to be raised in 3 days and I drop dead and I never wake up. Then I become a fool, right? A stupid. But he's been saying that. I'm going to be raised in 3 days. I'm going to be raised in 3 days. I'm going to be raised in 3 days. And he was raised. And for the last 2,000 years, millions of people lay down their lives for this truth. Okay? So, it proves a certain thing. And you're going to have to make up your mind. The one of the things that resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he is God who became a man. It just kind of attests the fact that he is divine. Okay, if that is the case, what is your view on life? You're like a fly and you die and then that's it. Is that it? So many people live with that and they try to fight with that truth. I just don't get it, right? You know why it is like that? Because it is a spiritual truth. So Christianity is a religion of open tomb, empty tomb, and it is empty because he has risen from the dead, and you're all going to rise from the dead. Could you pause for a second? I don't know what stage of life you are in. You know, you may be pursuing something like crazy and you think about nothing else. But I tell you something, there's going to be a day you're going to be thinking about what this life is about. What's going to be left in my life? What really would matter in my life? You know, and during the Korean service, I kind of share that. A lot of first generation immigrants, they think about making more money so I could purchase one house and give to my children, inherit to my children. That's their dream. And most people can't make it. Isn't that kind of sad? It's not even a big dream, but we can't make it. This is such a hard dream. But if you consider the resurrection, it is a worldview shaper. Josh McDowell says, I think that is the biggest worldview shaper there is for any human being. Do you believe in resurrection? Or else you're going to live for the temporal things like the rest of the world. You're just a fly. You know, you're going to die just like the flies and you're going to, you know, and that's how it is. Really sad, really empty, isn't it? Bible says something completely different things. In fact, through the resurrection, Bible claims that he has conquered sin and death. There is no more death. Death has been conquered and has been abolished completely. Abolished. That's why he was able to say, if you believe in me, you will never die. If that doesn't happen, he's got to be the greatest liar there is in history, if you think about it. But that's not a lie, people. If you believe in me, you will never die. Okay? How did Jesus accomplish that? By taking the sting out of death. And we just sang it. What is that sting? Sting, what does that remind you? Sort of like a big bee, right? With the poison, and it stings you, and it poisons you. And death is like a big bee, and it's going to sting every single one of you. And what's that sting? It's sin. Sin causes you to die. Because the Bible says the wage of sin is death. That's why you need to die. Until your sin problem is resolved before the holiness of God, you will die and you will die forever. Okay. So what did he do? He took the sting out of sin. And how did he do that? Through the cross of Jesus Christ. Good Friday, he went to the cross. He bore sin upon himself. And he paid the price and the penalty of sin, of humanity, if you put your faith in him. Don't fall asleep. People, do you believe in this? Or do you believe in you're like a fly? I'm like a fly. It lived one day and it's going to die one day. And I'm like that. It doesn't really matter. Right? Quite a different worldview, isn't it? In today's text, Matthew chapter 28, which is the last chapter or the closure of the Gospels, and it is kind of interesting because if you consider the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every last chapter of each Gospel speaks about the resurrection. Resurrection is a good closure. If the cross is the climax of Christianity, resurrection is the closure. And that's going to be the closure of your life as well, whether you believe it or not. Either you are completely wrong or the scripture is completely wrong. Think about it, people. Okay? Gospel really doesn't, they don't try to explain the, the Gospels doesn't really explain, try to explain the resurrection. The resurrection explains the Gospel. If you believe in the resurrection, we call that you believe in the Gospel. Can I just ask you, you don't have to say out loud, do you believe in resurrection? Just asking you. Do you believe in the resurrection? I didn't say, do you go to church regularly? I didn't say that. There's so many people who go to church don't believe in that. Do you believe in the resurrection? What a big difference that would make. I remember when I was in dental school, shared this many, many times, when I saw what this life is about through the Word of God. When I went on a missions trip to France, it was France, 1985. And the verse that Lord really spoke to my heart was, as a big picture, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you picture that? Earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's not going to be your glory. It is not going to be your glory. It is not going to be the glory of your marriage. It's going to be the glory of God. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Could you picture that? Could you picture Jones Beach? Could you picture how many gallons of water on Jones Beach? Billions of gallons. That's how much glory we're going to see at the end. You're going to age. And not much going to be left in your life. My life too. But the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's going to be all about His glory. When that really became real in my heart, I said to myself, Lord, forget dental school. If I don't live for you, I got to be the greatest fool in this world. I got to be the greatest fool in this world. If I do not live for you and I live for nothing, I got to be a greatest fool. Resurrection makes a difference in your life, people. Resurrection makes a world of difference in one's life. Okay? So let's look at Matthew's story today. And basically, this is the last chapter of the first gospel. And Matthew chapter 28 is a very significant gospel because it has the Great Commission. Okay? That's what we want to talk about today. But the kind of setup is this. Let me just read it one more time. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, and he's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with a fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And on the way they meet Jesus was resurrected. Okay? Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings, shalom." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, and go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So Matthew chapter 28, this is what happened. Jesus was placed in a tomb. Could you picture that? That rocky tomb. There's no way to come out. With a gate that weighs about 2,000 pounds. That's 2,000 pound gate. But on Sunday morning, three ladies went to see supposedly dead Jesus, crucified Jesus, Mary Magdalene, another Mary, and other women. They went to see. I don't know whether they had a plan to see Jesus, because if they were, how? There was a huge gate covering the tomb, and also the Roman soldiers were guarding. However, God took care of the problem. As you, if you read Matthew 28, God sent earthquake, supernatural means. You know, faith is supernatural, if you think about it. Death and resurrection is not natural. It's supernatural. God is supernatural. And you say, "I don't believe in supernaturals." Well, God is supernatural. God sent earthquake. And it's the second earthquake since Friday. Friday, when Jesus was on the cross, remember Matthew? The whole world was in darkness, and there was an earthquake. And dead people rose, and they went into the city and actually and testify. If you read Matthew chapter 27, it's an amazing, amazing chapter, people. So after 3 days, early on Sunday morning, there was an earthquake. Angel was sent, and basically he rolled the gate, and angel was sitting on the top of the gate. Could you picture that? Like, let me just go back to the picture. Huge gate, and there was an angel sitting on top of it. Like, so cute, if you could picture that. And the ladies came to see Jesus, but the gate was open, and angel was sitting on top of it, and basically saying, "Guess who opened it?" Okay, it's basically saying, "I did it." That's what's going on. Okay, so the conversation begins between the angel and the woman, and conversation is written right here. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell the brothers, tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, and I have told you. Basically, the message of angel is three things. Number one, he has risen. He has risen. Number two, go tell your brothers. Message of resurrection need to be told to others. And number three, now go to Galilee. Now, what is that about? Go to Galilee. Okay? So three things. First thing is, he has risen as he said. Can I just tell you, if you are someone who wants to cheat something, unless you know you're going to be raised from the dead, you're not going to predict that you're going to be raised from the dead. Jesus clearly stated that, "I'm going to be raised in 3 days. Multiple times. Multiple times. Unless he had a power to do so, he would not have made that claim and try to get away with it. But he did. As he said, he has been risen. Okay? Pretty amazing if you think about it. And it's been 2,000 years. People try to disprove that he has not been resurrected. But nobody was able to do so. Okay? The second thing is that go tell your brothers that he has risen. Message of resurrection is central in Christianity. C.S. Lewis, in his book titled Miracles, stated something very, very important. All the sermons in the book of Acts, and I counted them yesterday. There are 18 sermons in the book of Acts, and spoken by apostles, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul. You know what the theme is? It's always the resurrection. In other words, apostolic preaching and the gospel is about resurrection and coming back of Christ. Can I just ask you, how many of you grew up listening resurrection messages in your church? How many of you grown up listening to return of Christ? Christ is returning messages and soon messages when you're growing up. If you have grown up listening to those messages, would you be able to say amen? Probably rare. Do you ever wonder why? The key message of the New Testament church and the book of Acts is the resurrection and coming back of Christ. And that is the gospel. Apart from the resurrection, there is no gospel. And I want to proclaim to you right now, if some of you are listening for the first time, joining first time, resurrection is the central message of Christianity, and he is coming back. Would you say amen? He's definitely coming back, people. You're not going to be like flies. You are created in the image of God. So you are made to live eternally. I don't like this life. Well, you're still going to live eternally. And he loves you because he created you in the image of Christ. But I had such a terrible family life growing up. So many people have. I'm still having such a misery with my family. And I just don't want to go home. It's a chaos. They're fighting all the time. They don't talk to each other. They never eat together. And, you know, I just don't want to go back. Well, brothers and sisters, that is why Christ came, to bring you hope, to bring healing and restoration and life in your soul. Resurrection is the key message, people. It's not about prosperity. It's not about your marriage getting a little bit better. It's not that. It's much bigger than that. Okay? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. When this became real, when I was in dental school, I don't know. I think it was the grace of God. I said to myself, I'm going to live for something eternal. I'm not going to live for something that's just going to fade away. I want to live for something eternal. And what are eternal things? There aren't a whole lot of things that are eternal. This pulpit is not eternal. This suit is not eternal. What is eternal? There are only two things that is eternal. God and his people. God and souls. So I remember, Lord, I guess I didn't know what I was saying, but I want to live for something eternal. I don't want to live for just something that's going to perish, but I want to live for something eternal, and I want to invest my life on people. And that's what I strive to do for the last 35 years. What do you live for? Are you like a fly? Do you think like that? I'm just like a fly. I'm just going to live and I'm going to die. When I die and that's it. There is no more. And they call that atheistic thinking, foolishness. And the reason I say that is foolish is because Bible says, fool says in his heart, there is no God. Atheist basically saying there is no God. Okay. So, angel said to, go tell your brothers. That's the central message of Christianity, and central message is resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're going to be raised. Will you think differently if you know you're going to be raised in resurrection? Okay. I want to show what happened when Jesus met the resurrected Christ, met with these disciples for the first time. So basically, they were on their way back to the disciples. And if you look at verse 8, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to his ran to his disciples, and Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." Can you imagine that? That's resurrected Christ. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me there." Okay? So basically, the message was the same thing. I want you to go tell my brothers that Jesus has been raised and go back to Galilee. What is Galilee? You know what Galilee is? Galilee is where they met Jesus for the first time. How many of you met Jesus in your lifetime? Would you say amen? Could you go back to that? Some people say youth group retreat. I don't know. Whatever it is. You met Jesus for the first time. And that's Galilee. That's where Jesus said, "Follow me. Come follow me. I'm going to make your life different. I'm going to make you fishers of men." And basically, resurrected Christ telling the disciples, "Tell them to go to Galilee. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to speak to them." Okay? What happened there? This is what happened. Verse 11. When 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Okay? And then Jesus spoke to the disciples who came to Galilee. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." I just found this amazing. You know what resurrection proves? It proves the inauguration of his eternal kingdom. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Christ. It's not Mr. Putin. It's a pretty scary time, isn't it? Nobody can really stop him. Nobody can really predict what he's going to do. Some people just don't care. Some people just think that somehow it'll subside. I don't know about that. I don't know where this history is going exactly. But we know from the teaching of the scripture, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Mr. Biden, Mr. Putin, God could raise them up and God could pull them down. It's in the hand of the King of Kings. Resurrection inaugurated Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I just ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is Jesus King of your life? If not, you are in an enemy term with him. We talked about being on curse. You're hostile to him. You're disobedient to him. You want to go against what he's doing. And basically, unless you submit it to the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you're in an enemy term with him. Would you be willing to surrender? The reason this gospel is being proclaimed to you is pray that the Spirit of God will soften your heart. Pray that the Word of God will humble your heart. Until you're humbled, you're not going to surrender. You're just going to scoff at him and just get very, very sleepy. Basically, that's what happens to people. Okay? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And what follows is really the purpose of your life if you're a Christian, if you are a part of a local church. Okay? What is the purpose? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. And surely I'm with you always until the very end of the age. And it means nothing unless Jesus is the Lord of your life. But if he is, Whether you are a teacher, whether you're a medical personnel, whether you're a housewife, whatever you do, this is the purpose of God in your life. Because this is called the Great Commission. Okay? Resurrection faith really changes your worldview. How many of you desire to have live for this? You don't have to say out loudly. If you don't, Jesus is not Lord of your life. Jesus is not Lord of your life. This is what the Lord commands his people and to the church. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we will do today. This is what we live for. This is what the church is for. This is what the death and resurrection message is about. It's not for you to just come and just kind of feel a little better from your sinful way of living. It's not that at all, people. Have you surrendered to the kingship of Jesus Christ? You know you'll be resurrected. And depends on what your relationship with him. It's going to be eternal resurrection, or it's going to be resurrection of judgment, people. And that's what the scripture is offering to you. That's what the gospel is offering to you. And the magnificent promise and the vision is this. And Jesus promised that I will be with you until the very end of the age. Unless he's alive, unless he has resurrected, unless he's eternal, how can he possibly promise that? He's promising, I am, the great I am, is with you always to the very end of the age. Not to the end of your life, not to the end of this world, but to the end of the ages. Eternal promise. That's a huge worldview changer, isn't it? Basically, life is divided into two categories. Just like that English professor. You think life is about, it's like a fly. Fly lives and fly dies. And you live and you die. Or there is much more than that, which is the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the greatest hope. You know, I share on Friday, what's the greatest event in history? An atomic bomb that dropped in Japan killed hundreds of thousands of people. World War II, what's the greatest event in human history? I believe it is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's my reasoning. It may have killed like 500,000 people in Japan by one bomb. Right? Which is terrible thing to even imagine. Although we could imagine it right now. In Mariupol right now, they're fighting like crazy right now. Could you picture that, people? In Mariupol, southern Ukraine right now. It killed hundreds of thousands of people. But the cross of Jesus Christ saved millions and billions of people through that man hanging on a tree and to be cursed. And this resurrection represents exactly what's going to happen to all of us. The greatest event in human history is the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ. And I really do believe if you truly surrender and believe in resurrection faith, your worldview will change. Until then, you do not live for him. Until then, your life is in jeopardy. Okay? You need to come to Christ. Resurrection demands for you to repent. In Acts chapter 17, he calls all men everywhere to repent. The resurrected Christ will judge the living and the dead. And that day has been fixed. And it demands all of you to repent. You need to repent and come to Christ. Let's pray.